It is 8:15 a.m. in New York, 3:15 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 8:15 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour, recorded from Winterthur, Switzerland. This is Sunday Shanderbean from sundaybean.com, and I'm a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. And I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. For this week's episode, I have no script. I have no script for what I've been through in the last 7, 8, 9 days. Without going into the details, I have recently lost someone that I love very dearly. And this episode is dedicated to you, Karen. I love you with my whole heart. Today, in this episode about love them while they're alive, I wanted to dedicate this to my sister-in-law because she lived it. She lived the idea of loving people and they know it. I want to share something with you that she and I exchanged on as an example of what I mean. I did an episode, episode 53, called What Friends and Family Really Think About You Living Abroad. And here she shows up on my Facebook feed. She says, I'm reading this from a screenshot I took of my Facebook feed. She says, I just listened to this episode Sunday for the very first time, and I want you to know that I'm so deeply happy that you became part of our family. She goes on to share what she exactly appreciated about some hard times and some good times. And she said, I always felt a strong emotional connection with you, and I want to tell you that I admire your positivity. I love you and I miss you all. This is the woman who loves you and lets you know. In a context that doesn't always open that door in such a direct way. And she opened the door for me to answer. And I said, Karen, I feel the same about you. Sisters from the beginning. Heart icon. And then I went on to share how much I miss her and how much I miss seeing the boys grow in front of my eyes instead of having to watch it on Facebook. So this dear woman lives this idea of loving someone while they're alive. And that's why I'm dedicating to today's episode from her. It's been a tough week. And not only did I lose her, I lost a dear friend that I've known for almost 20 years. And knowing that there are these gorgeous mamas no longer here with us in physical form. I got on the phone with a dear friend today trying to make sense of all of this. And after crying, of course, we talked about how, you know, my father's words about Sunday, you need to love people while they're alive, how my sister-in-law Karen really, really embraced that and lived it and modeled it for everybody. And there's this dilemma that we have, you know, how do you really love people? How do you tell them and show them? And how do you do that in a way that you feel like you're not taking a risk or feeling like a fool or maybe even being culturally inappropriate, right? For those of us who live in binational marriages or interculturally, maybe you're making friendships with people in cultures that are much more private oriented, or maybe you're making friendships that are in languages that are hard to translate your emotions. You might ask yourself, how can I love them? Right? How do you love people when you don't feel like the door is always open? And my friend and I were on the phone and we said, you know, as interculturalists, how do you, you know, I want to shout from the rooftops right now, you guys, wake up. If there's someone that you love and you haven't said it, tell them, grab them, hug them, kiss them, you know, write them a letter. And the interculturalist in me knows Sunday, that's just one way of doing it. There's more ways to do it. And maybe there's other more culturally appropriate ways to do it. And that's what I invite you to do today. is who are the people that you really want to know that you're loving them while they're alive? And how can you do it in a way that you can open your whole heart and share that and feel like it can still translate across cultures? And then my friend on the phone today brings up the point of Sunday. I get it. We have to do this in culturally appropriate ways, but we shouldn't feel caged by it. Don't let it put out your fire. Don't let it stop you from laughing out loud with them and dancing the way you want to. So on this day that I'm struggling, and I don't even know if it's responsible for me to be recording a podcast in the frame of mind that I'm in, this is my invitation to you to love and to inspire others and to give people permission to walk that door, for them to be themselves and to love you and for you to love them back. And my gorgeous sister-in-law, so sweet. In one of our last exchanges, I was complimenting her on how amazing she is. So really felt open with her about what she was doing in service of the family. And I wrote to her, "You're so amazing, Karen. You're such an amazing daughter." And she writes back, "We're all daughters of amazing moms." She, you know, taking that compliment in and giving it back to our mothers. I mean, if that isn't someone who loves. And thankfully, one of the last things I said to her while she was alive was, "The whole family is lucky to have you." So this episode replay of episode 6, Living Abroad Without Regret, is for you, Karen. Because you lived this philosophy so well. You love people. You've loved them while you're alive, and I know you will love them from where you are right now for an eternity. So thank you for inviting me to love you back. I will miss you forever. Now, I'll let you listen to this replay of episode 6, Living Abroad Without Regret, because that's what I want with my whole heart for you and for your loved ones.
Hello, it is 8 a.m. in New York, 3 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 8 p.m. in Bangkok. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from SundayBean.com. I am a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations. I am on a mission to help you make the most of life abroad, no matter where you are. It was in Switzerland in around 2011, and I got a call from my mother on a Thursday night, and she said, "Sunday, I'm so sorry to tell you, but Grandpa George is in the hospital, and he's got pneumonia." Now, my Grandpa George, by that time, was 92, and he had been really strong mentally and physically most of his life. But to be honest, I know that you don't leave the hospital when you have pneumonia and you're 92. I was, scared and sad, but trying to be optimistic. And I called him from Switzerland to the hospital in the United States. And I just completely lost it. I called him, and in what I call dolphin voice, where you're crying and speaking at the same time, I was saying, "George, I know you're not feeling well, but I wanted you to know that I'm thinking about you and I love you so much." And I was literally, at the top of my lungs, trying to express this with my whole heart and still be articulate at the same time. And my son was there with me, and he was about 4 at the time, and I passed the phone to him. And he says, "Grandpa, I love you. I'm sorry that you're not feeling okay." As I basically fed him word for word what he had to say, because he was too young to get it. And in just a snotty mess of tears, I hung up And I don't even remember what he said on the other line. To be honest, I don't even know if he could speak. But I called my mom, and she was at Walmart getting his battery fixed on his watch. And I don't know, that must have been important to him for some reason. Or maybe she just wanted to do something to get her mind off of it. And I called her and I told her that I had said goodbye, or not goodbye. I said that I loved him and I wished that he wasn't sick, and we cried on the phone together. And I hung up the phone and I almost felt embarrassed, like this blubbering mess, just totally pouring out my feelings to my grandfather. And I was thinking, well, it's kind of like, what if he doesn't die? And I just did that like dramatic expression of love. And I thought, you know what? I don't care. My grandpa was the kind of man where I would call, he's like a bear, like a grizzly bear on the outside and a teddy bear on the inside. He acted like what he called a staunch German because of his German heritage. And we'd try to give him a hug and a kiss, like, oh, no, you know, stop it or whatever. But you knew he wanted us to give him big kisses on the cheek and tell him that we love him. And I went to bed and I just had this uneasy feeling like something's going to happen. And because I was in Switzerland and the U.S. is behind Swiss time, I got up and went to work early in the morning. And by the time I got off early that day around noon, I noticed I had a message on my phone. So it was cold, winter. And I'm walking back from my work to home and it's gray. And I'm like, I don't want to listen to this message. And it was my husband. And he said, honey, when you get home, I want you to call me. I have some sad news. I cannot even tell you this right now without even getting like a lump in my throat, because I knew what he was going to say. He just didn't want to say it over the phone. So I'm walking home and I'm preparing myself going, okay, what am I going to do? It was the weekend when basically Europe closed down. The blizzards and the storms were so bad. People were sleeping overnight in the Heathrow Airport and the Zurich Airport. People couldn't leave in the evening, had to stay there till the morning. And this very weekend was the weekend that my grandfather passed away. And I was like, I don't even know if I can get home physically. I don't know even if I got a flight, if I could get home. And to make matters worse, I just left work on a Friday. And on Monday morning, I had 17 people coming from all over Switzerland to be there for a workshop I was delivering for a corporate client. And by the time I could think clearly about that training I had the next Monday, it was already past office hours. And I thought, well, if I do manage to find a flight, what am I going to do about these 17 people coming from all over the country to show up for a training I'm not going to deliver? So what I decided to do was I just needed to feel shocked and sad and grieve. And then I went to sleep. And the next morning, I got up and the weather was bad, and the flights were like $12,000, something ridiculous to get to my parents without even a guarantee that I would make it in time for the funeral. And I really, really debated. I really struggled. Like, what am I going to do? You know, how am I going to make this decision? I love my grandpa so much, and we were buddies for so long. He was probably the most liberal person in my family, and we would call and talk about the Democrats and Hillary Clinton and what was on C-SPAN. You know, he was the only guy I could call from my flip phone when I was in college and have conversations like a good friend, except for I just have to talk a little louder because he was losing his hearing, but he was a friend and now he was gone. So I sat down and I felt super conflicted. And I thought, can I really do this? This is, now I have a son who has to be picked up and dropped off from the daycare. I have a partner who has got his work commitments. I got these 17 people waiting for me. I've got a blizzard, a storm. I don't know if I can even make it. And it's a $12,000 flight. So I called my parents and I told them about the dilemma. I said, what am I going to do? The dilemma is I don't think that I can get back home. I don't think this is going to be, I can do this. And I talked to my mom and my dad said to me, Sunday, if you're coming home to the funeral for George, he's dead. You love him while they're alive. And his words really struck me. Like, coming home for George for the funeral was futile, right? That's, he's gone. Love him while you're alive. And in that moment, I realized I did have peace. I had peace because I did love him while I was alive. I showed him in many ways, and I told him physically, and I was even able to say goodbye just, you know, the night before he died on the phone in some blubbering mess. So when you love someone while they're alive, you have more peace when they pass. Not always, because I don't mean to say that it's peaceful when someone passes. I mean the dilemma of, did I show them? Did they know? That is clear. But once that was dilemma was a bit out of the way, there was my next dilemma. And that was, I wanted to be there with my mom. She just lost her stepdad. And I couldn't be there to give her a hug, to support her, to have her cry on my shoulder. I felt like a super shitty daughter. The one thing that was holding me back is that I knew I was going to see her in a couple weeks. We had a trip planned where we would be together. And I thought, okay, I can't support her now, but I could at least in a couple weeks. And I was debating this dilemma back and forth with one of my best friends in Switzerland. And I told her and I cried and I explained and I hemmed and hawed about back and forth. And she said, Sunday, stop. You do not have to hop on an airplane in a blizzard and spend $12,000 on a flight, leaving your husband to take over more responsibility and leaving 17 people at the door of a corporate training unattended to show someone that you love them. You can show support in another way. And it didn't even dawn on me. I grew up in Williston, North Dakota, and if somebody is going through a hard time, if somebody passes away, you show up on their doorstep with lasagna. You show up. You go to the church. You go to their house. You make them something. You even harvest their crop if they can't. That's how you show up in my family culture. That's how you show up where I'm from. And now being thousands of miles away, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. And that was hard. But she was right. I can support in other ways. It's either all or nothing. So then I got clear and I called my mom and I said that it didn't look like it made sense for me to be there now, but I had some ways to support. I had some ideas to be there when I couldn't, and if she'd be willing to listen. And then she said, Sunday, I'm so relieved. Relieved? I was like, what? She said, now I don't have to worry about you in the storm. Now I don't have to worry about you with the blizzard. And I thought, oh my God, the whole time I had no idea that my desire to make a grand gesture of support and love to my family would actually cause my mom worry. But what I did know is that I struggled. I struggled because my biggest fear was that my family would question my commitment as a good daughter and a good sister and a good granddaughter, that they would question my love for my grandfather. And that was hard. And I was torn between my original nuclear family and the family of my own, leaving my small child and my partner with their existing program and commitments, and or hauling them along long distance through jet lag. I just thought, I'm split in two directions. What I want to do, what I'm used to doing, is making a grand gesture and showing up face to face. But right now, the reality of my life is making it really hard to do that. So the two lessons I learned from this is love them while they're alive and give your support in other ways. Same thing happened with a dear, dear friend of mine when her husband died quickly of cancer. For some reason, I wasn't able to come to the funeral. I don't know what was going on, what I had that was blocking me, but I couldn't be there for the funeral. And we talked about it. And she shared with me that she would be open for me to come at another time to be there and support in her process. And so what I did is I tried to offer my support in every way I could, before, during, and after, in calls and text messages and emails. And then I was able to come a few months later and spend a month with her. And even though we hadn't planned this or we hadn't expected it, we realized that it gave her a new space to grieve, somehow a space for her to grieve her loss and a love. And when everybody kind of stopped checking in. And for me, selfishly, it gave me a chance to grieve, because when someone you love is hurting, you hurt. And I wanted to be there as her friend, and I wanted to hug her and squeeze her and tell her that I loved her. And that gave me the opportunity to do that and be with her and have those conversations, but also distract her from those conversations, whatever made sense in the moment. And it continues on and on. Living an expat life for almost 20 years, these examples add up, including friends who've gotten married and you can't go and you feel bad because you want them to know how much you love them. And in one case, my dear, dear friend knew that I couldn't come because her wedding was just 1 week away from, I think, the school end. And I couldn't take my kids out of school or leave them from West Africa via Europe to the United States. And we talked about it, and she said it was okay. She wasn't upset and she understood. She didn't give me a hard time. And that was kind. And I wrote a surprise letter and had it read at the wedding reception as a gesture, a small gesture, to say I love you and to say I'm here even though I'm not. So that is another thing that I've learned, to find a way to be there when you're not. So to live abroad without regret, you have got to love the crap out of your people. Listen, I confess, I do not do this perfectly all the time, right? I have probably missed opportunities to express my love and probably miss opportunities to extend gestures of friendship. I'm human. But I do know that more and more I work really hard to show up as a friend in any way I can creatively think of when I can't be there. To live a life abroad without regret, you've got to love the crap out of your people. And it's true, sometimes you've got to go. Sometimes you have to make that grand gesture. Like when my grandmother died, it shocked the whole family. And it happened on 4th of July. They got the call 4th of July weekend. And suddenly I got a call from my parents saying that she had passed. And within 24 hours, I was able to move a trip that we had abroad. I had plane tickets in my hand and I was on a train. Work had been informed and I was there to be with my shaken parents, my sister, my brother, and the rest of my family. That time I just knew it was different circumstances. I didn't have children. There was no natural disaster happening and it was clear and I took action. I really believe if you know and if you listen to your body, you will know when it's time to go, when it's time to make the grand gesture, and when it's time to create support in another way. So to live abroad without regret, you have to love the crap out of your people. And here are some tips on how you can do that. First, love them while they're alive. Tell them in a gesture, make a visit, call them, leave a tiny voice audio on Facebook, anything. Those 1,000 small gestures are supportive. That is friendship. And when that foundation has been laid, it will be there the moment you miss that chance to make the grand gesture. Just like with my grandpa, I would call him on a random Saturday morning during my master's degree. And I'd just say, hey, how's it going, grandpa? And he'd tell me about the latest book on World War II he was reading. Or I would share with him what I was learning in my college courses. He is so stinking cute. He always said to me, he thinks I should run for president. And I cannot tell you how much that means to me. Not because I think that I would ever be qualified. It's because it was his way of saying, I love you. I think you're smart and I think you can do anything. Right? So he loved me while he was alive. And that is what it's all about, isn't it? Like, that's what it's all about. Whew. So, I mean it. Look at the people around you and love them while they are alive. You don't need a grand gesture. It could be in a comment, a text, or a stupid emoji. Just show them. And when you notice you haven't been, then get back on track. The second thing that I have to offer you is if you really want to love the crap out of your people, support them and show up when you can't physically be there. Send a letter at a ceremony, make a photo collage, create a tiny spontaneous video. It doesn't have to be complicated. I remember when I was getting married, one of my friend's youngest brothers, little brothers, sent in a plastic, who we had this joke when we were kids, that he wanted to marry me. And he sent in this plastic engagement ring on the day of my wedding, with a note that said, it's not too late. It's so sweet, right? So of course he was just kidding. But what I mean by that is, sometimes it's as silly as a plastic ring, this small gesture that is so meaningful and so memorable. The third thing I'd like to leave you with is be there when no one else is. This is very true when it comes to loss, to people who are bereaved. You know that when you lose someone, everybody's pouring in messages on Facebook. I'm so sorry. They're calling, they're dropping by lasagna if you're from my hometown. And then they go on with their normal lives. 2 months later, 3 months later, and they don't remember that maybe on that random Wednesday afternoon, you break down and it's tough. So if you were not able to be by a good friend or family member's side when they're grieving, remember that you can support them when no one else is. You can make a trip down the road in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, and give them a space to share their story when others have stopped listening. Give them someone fresh to retell the story that they just need to tell 1,000 times. And the same goes for celebrating. When a baby is born, everybody shows up at the hospital or the first day, the second day, the third day. But after 4 months, everybody knows you got a new baby, right? So if you're the friend who missed your best friend or good girlfriend's firstborn son, you can show up 4 months later, 5 months later, and celebrate it like it's day one. Reigniting the reason to celebrate and to honor the person and what life experience they're going through. To live life abroad without regret, you have to love the crap out of your people. And I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Sunday, writing a letter is just not the same as being there. Of course it's not. I wholeheartedly agree. But if you can't be there, do what you can to be there without being physically present. Listen, if you're like me, you have friends all over the world. And you can't be with everyone all the time for each and every one of their important life events, even though I would love to divide myself in 100 pieces. I can't be there all the time. So when you can't be there physically, find a way to show that you are. So now this is the Ask Sunday part of the show. And I want you to please email me your questions. Email me at contact@sundaybean.com with any sort of question you have toward living an international or expat life. I'm here for you. Here's one that's related to what we were talking about today. It's my grandmother's 100th birthday coming up in summer. I want to honor my grandma's life. And to be honest, I want to make my family happy who's putting pressure on me to come back home. But I live in Dubai. They're in the United States. And I've got 3 kids. It is a super long flight and it's expensive. What should I do? So, you, Ms. Dubai, are absolutely not alone. Many of us have been in this place before. So here's what I would ask you to think about. You have some time to plan. How will you feel if you don't go? What are the obstacles? So when you think about it, how will you feel if you don't go? If the answer is, I'll feel shitty and regretful and like I'm the worst person on the planet and actually feel bad because I didn't give my grandma the last hug. Okay, then you probably have an answer. If your answer is, I'd be fine because my grandma and I, we have a total understanding. In fact, knowing my grandma, she'd be mad at me if I spent that money and time and flew. Because she's a real staunch environmentalist and would be upset if I did it, right? There's no right or wrong answer here. The right thing to do is what makes sense between you, your consciousness, the way you want to show up, and the one that you love. Now, if you see a window of opportunity here, like, oh, I actually do want to go to the 100th birthday party, but come on, there is a lot in my way. Hauling 3 kids across the world, different time zones, spending $10,000. Those are big obstacles. That's not viable. Okay, now it's time to get creative. Look at your obstacles. What's the obstacle? 4 flights, 3 kids, 1 mama, maybe even 5 flights if your partner comes with you. Is it the money? Can you get the money from some other place? If that feels ridiculous, why would you have to bring the whole family? Maybe it's just you who could go. Okay, you're saying, all right, I like that idea. I'll just go on my own, but what am I going to do with my kids? Now it's an opportunity to look in your community and say, who can support me during this important process? My husband, my neighbors, my expat friends. If you have friends that love and support you, when you ask them for help, my hunch is that they're honored that you trust them, that they're honored and happy to support you as a friend. We love to support our friends. So this would give them an opportunity to do that. If you're new to the area and you're feeling like, oh, do we know each other that well to make that ask? You might think about making an exchange. If you have some time to plan, you can take the kids for a weekend in advance so that when you go for this quick trip, they're taken care of. Okay, so if you're like the mom from Dubai, I want you to get really clear on what are your answers. What feels like the right answer for you? To live abroad without regret, you have to love the crap out of your people. This is Sunday from sundaybean.com, and thank you for listening. In the brilliant words of Maya Angelou, I've learned that people don't remember what you said. They don't remember what you did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. So get out there and love the crap out of your people. I'm